We're getting fresh in the kitchen today with a lovely man. His name is Peter Thornley. He's the executive chef at Kermadec in Auckland City, in what a magical spot here, the Viaduct. Hello, Peter.
Hi.
Nice to see you. And I've caught up with you this afternoon here at the restaurant. What have you been doing today?
Today's all about one of those horrible, unpassionate days of driving an office desk and making sure you make budget and everything else. It's not my normal day. My normal day is more creative than that. And at the moment, we're working on a new menu for the brasserie, which is simple. It's quite exciting. There's a huge movement that is now coming all the way up through South America and into the States, and I was in San Francisco not so long ago. And there's a huge swathe of Peruvian food moving through America. And in a recent review, when I was in San Francisco, they had a two Michelin star restaurant that was reviewed alongside a new one called Macrobichier. And Macrobichier scored one star higher than a Michelin star restaurant. So there are, and it's a 500 cover restaurant. So there's going to be a bit of a lean towards Peruvian style, especially in Grabichiers or very quickly raw marinated seafood, which is, since we're right on the water, it seems quite natural, yeah.
Absolutely. So that influence coming to Kermadec in the brasserie.
In the brasserie.
And, well, that was my next question, is food trends. Tell me, for this year, and it's an early start to 2009, but for 2010, say, what's your prediction? If Peruvian's hot to trot at the moment, what do you think will be the next big food trend for eating out?
Next big food trend for eating out is, for me, is actually keeping it really simple. Everybody's talking about molecular gastronomy, and it's been around for a little while now. And to be fair, it's nothing new. It's not a great crack. One of the guys in the kitchen practices a little bit in the pastry. But for me, it's all about keeping it simple. It's about following it from the ground, from the farm, from the earth, from the sea to the kitchen. And to coin a Gordon Ramsay phrase, don't fuck with it. Keep it really, really simple. A nice piece of fish, a simple garnish, a really simple sauce. Somebody asked me to write today about what I thought about New Zealand as an environment for growing food and as a country. And I just looked out the window out of Kermadec and I went, my God, we've got oceans full of fish. We're surrounded with beautiful land and with one of the best cultures in the world. And we're surrounded by food. And yet, here we go. We want to put truffles on our menu and we want to put pomegranate molasses, which I call the new ketchup of the new millennium. So to me, the trend is really simple. Just simple, 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 simple.
Well, one of your little mantras, if you like, is quality before everything else. So, yeah, that sort of sums that up. And well, Fresh in the Kitchen is all about celebrating excellence in food. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. And tell me, just talking Gordon Ramsay, one of my other questions for you was, when you watch these, you probably haven't got time to watch them on TV, but we all know, we all hear about them. What do you honestly think of chefs like that, that actually, that have such hot-headedness in the kitchen?
It's an environment that is... It's jam-packed full of testosterone and tension and heat and customers who arrive late, customers who arrive early for a booking, customers who decide that the vanilla seeds on the bottom of a creme brulee are dirt and they want to return it, full of, customers who want their carpaccio cooked well done, hello. I'm not a guy that jumps up and down the kitchen, although I have been known to use the F word occasionally. But all I say to the guys and girls that I employ, it's really simple. There's only one rule. And that is, whatever happens during the course of the day at midnight, forget about it. Because otherwise, the next day you come to work, your shoulders and your head are going to get so close to the ground, you're not going to be able to pick yourself up and want to come to work. And I like to think that I've built an environment that is exemplifies professionalism and gives young men and women an opportunity to cook, to learn, and to go on and do wonderful things and take them overseas.
That's very wonderful. There's a bit of a rumour going around here in the foodie circles that here at Kermadec you are a bit of a, you're a nurturer, and I think that's wonderful. And Ben, who I met here recently, your head chef, he was talking me through your prawn sticks because I was just about to fall over and die with how delicious they were. So he talked me through it and how simple it was to make, and you could see he had respect for you, and that's wonderful to see. And obviously it's reflected in the happiness that people feel when they walk out the door.
Well, I have 35 chefs in the kitchen. We have 120 employees in the whole of the restaurants at Kermadec. And, It's great. I mean, I just had a meeting with my pastry chef today, and he's going, God, chef, can we change the menu? I'm going, yeah, go for it. And we're talking about, you know, butternut and what we can do with butternut. So, you know, it'll be, you know, a beautiful butternut nitro balloon, which is a butternut puree and all the spices. Think about pumpkin pie, all those wonderful spice flavors. Then you put it inside a balloon and roll over liquid nitro, and you end up with this beautiful, great big ball. And then, you know, we'll make some beautiful cream cheese, make it into a little foam, and fill it up the inside of it. And, you know, it's all those things that give young men and women an opportunity, and they will take it. If you as a head chef or an executive chef, if you continue putting the thumb on their back of the necks, you know, they're not going to be creative. It's a creative environment, and we need people to be creative. We have the highest number of small to medium business enterprises in this country than compared with any other country in the world. And I would hate to think that, you know, we weren't letting all of our young people shine.
You can't stifle them, and it's good on you for letting them shine. It's great, and we see it here on the tables in the restaurant here at Kermadec. Now, when people talk about Kermadec, people automatically know it. We're here down at the viaduct. It's all about seafood, and the key word that comes up is iconic. Now, and that might have come with you from when you're working at Icon Restaurant at Te Papa in Wellington. But what makes Kermadec so iconic? Besides, I know that you love quality and fresh, and well, why?
Well, it's been here for 15 years, and restaurants don't normally survive that long. They come and they go, and I think that it's built a reputation for its seafood. It's known as a seafood restaurant. When they opened, it won lots of awards for its architectural design, and as we go through its refurbishment slowly over the period of the next 12 months, and we refurb each of the restaurants, then, you know, it'll garner back that reputation. But yeah, it's iconic. It sits over where the America's Cup was given out to the New Zealand boats. It sits where we lost it. So it's and we had the scampi issue. So it's all kind of, you know, it's part of New Zealand culture. Winston Peters and Kermadec come hand in hand.
That's right. We're sitting below beautiful tupper cloth and flax weaved roof over there. It really is quite stunning. I mean, the view is to die for. I'm just looking at the Auckland Harbour Bridge, watching your Kermadec fish flags fly beautifully. But the thing that's got people talking is this million-dollar kitchen that you get to work in every day. Tell me, is this, they say it is the best and most state-of-the-art facility kitchen in New Zealand, in a New Zealand restaurant. That's amazing.
Everywhere I've gone to work, I need to make sure that we have an engine room, if you like, or a kitchen to be able to make great food. And you know, we serve 2,300 to 2,500 guests a week here. So it's huge. It has to house 35 chefs, 5 auxiliary staff. So there are 40 employees working in that kitchen, not all at once. But the kitchens have moved on from the days of heat and sweat and toil and chefs leaning over the pass, which is where we plate our food, you know, continually dripping sweat. Those days are gone. You know, it's an environment that is tactile, it's clean, it's ergonomically friendly, everything is to hand. You know, there are no, nothing is left on top of the work surface, everything is in refrigerated drawers. The use of things like anti-griddles, which is, you have a griddle which cooks with heat. This is the reverse, so it's anti. So it means it cooks at minus 196 degrees. So we can make these very sexy lollipops and cannellonis using frozen purees and things like that. We fill it around 2 tons of fish a week here. So it's got a massive fish preparation area, which a lot of restaurants don't. We're just about to supply our beautiful bakery product to 3 stores in Auckland. And you know, you have to have these things. If you want great bread, you have to build a bakery. If you want great pastry, you have to build great pastry. If you want to cook good fish, you've got to have good grills. You've got to have great pans. And all this costs money. And yeah, it was $1 million. But it's beautiful, and it will last a good 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And tell me, just talking fish, are you a fisherman in your spare time, or would you prefer to get your hands dirty in the garden, or get out and about and not touch anything at all to do with food? What do you, you know, do you...
A dime a dozen for going bloody fishing. Personally, I'm a gardener, and being in the garden is where I'm at home. Although I don't mind doing a spot of trout fishing, provided I've got to sit on the back of the boat and let the line out and have a nice glass of Chardonnay along the way. But I'm not I'm not a great fisherman. I used to dive in my youth, but now I'm happy. I'm happy in the garden, happy growing things. That's my bent.
Your passion and some land one day with a significant other, perhaps.
Yeah, some land. I've just recently bought a small olive estate, some 1,500 trees, just south of Auckland in the Bombay Hills, and so 1,500 of trees. And my current other half is a balloon pilot, so. You know, it'll be chef's leave to the country, flying balloons and gardening.
Hang on a minute. I see a connection here. You're seeing a balloon pilot and you've got your nitro balloon dessert and the one you just talked about there. There's a bit of a link going on here. Are you a balloon man?
I'm going to learn how to fly in Hamilton. So we've got a balloon that we'll fly in the Hamilton Fiesta. And so we'll fly for 5 days. I've never done this before in my life. And I fear that I'm really going to have to have some very swift brandies beforehand.
Well, you're obviously wanting to constantly challenge yourself, so that's great. And tell me,